Hey, this is Clark Buckner over at Technology Advice, a company that connects buyers and sellers of business technology through meaningful relationships. One of the ways that we do this is through our conference partnerships, and most recently, I covered Authority Rainmaker by Copyblogger Media. I had such a fantastic time. I was on site podcasting with the best content marketer influencers who are leading the way in design, content, traffic, and conversion. I also talked to attendees and sponsors to get their pulse read from Copyblogger's second annual conference in Denver, Colorado. So the format of this audio mashup, I guess we can call it that, you're going to hear just a few snippets from most of my interviews. We'll have more mashups later and also links to listen to each interview in its entirety in the next couple weeks over at copyblogger.com. Embedded in each of these conversations is a story that is echoing the conference's mission, which is to accelerate your business with integrated content, search, and social media marketing. To learn more, check out copyblogger.com/authority-rainmaker. All right, let's go ahead and dive into this. The first interview, actually at the conference as well, is with Chris Brogan. He's the CEO at Owner Media Group. He's a New York Times and Wall Street Journal international best-selling author. He often talks about how business is about belonging. So my question to him is, as a keynote speaker this year, what is your number one message?
The message I'm trying to talk about is that there's a new business model around belonging. And the idea is, we've always heard that thing about we buy from people we like. And I think everyone kind of gets it. If I just say we buy from people we like, anyone listening goes, yeah, I get that. But with belonging, a lot of times we try to sell to too many people instead of selling to the people where we feel like we belong. If you are really into the Flash on the CW and you want to talk to me about how cool or how not cool Gorilla Grodd was, then some amount of people just totally tuned us out right now because they're like, I don't even know what he just said. Some people went, oh my, I love that show. And then they want to talk to you. I think that there's a lot of revenue to be made and a lot of business to be made by helping add value to the people you most want to help and serve. And so that's what that's about. That's my message.
Up next, we have Damian Farnworth. He is the chief copywriter at Copyblogger Media. He hosts the Rainmaker FM show, Rough Draft. I asked him how he consistently creates high-quality content to stand out in what is quickly becoming a saturated podcast market. That's really good. I need to get updated on the stats. The most recent information I can remember, so the average commute time for an American, 22 minutes one way. Average of people who do listen to podcasts, it's very important to consider, they're on an average, 3 podcasts a week. So, as a podcaster, and whoever's listening with us right now, if you're a podcaster, if you're not a podcaster, the emphasis, because now the barrier to entry is so low now, the importance of crafting a piece of content that can try to land one of those 3 shows that someone listens to a week is more important than ever. So, let's talk about your show and how you've worked to make it stand out. Are there any strategies that you've used to try to get onto someone's mobile experience every day, every week, to make sure that they're going to follow along with Rough Draft?
So my philosophy on all things content, all things I do, all things I create, is that, like, I look around me, what is everybody else doing? What is out there? It's always about market research. It begins really with the audience. Everything that I do, it's that triangle where it's the audience, and then it's the market, the competition, what's going on, and then what can I create out of that? But I always look around me, and I think, so what are people doing? Most people are doing weekly podcasts. Most people are doing, are pretty much interview-style podcasts. Most people are kind of...
It's really saturated.
Yeah, they're very... those who are doing monologue are if they're doing them all, are very vanilla. Even the interview style is very vanilla. And the thing about podcasts is really, really interesting because, the first 2 weeks were just weird in the sense of just, I really just kind of was trying to find my legs. I'm still trying to find my legs, but I knew that, one, I wanted it to be weekly. I wanted it to be daily. I wanted it to be short because everybody else was, up there 45 minutes weekly.
Man, yeah, I don't like that either.
And I really knew that I just needed to kind of, I had all this content over, I've been in this business for 15 years, and I really, this would give me an opportunity to sort of organize the content and to make it very systematic in a sense, but also put my own spin on it, because it's really what it boils down to is, like, a lot of us are not really saying anything new or original. We're not doing any really groundbreaking work, but it's how we position it. It's how we repackage it, right? And so I know that, like, I like to be weird, and I like to be someone who is, like, not of the fold, right? Of that. So, and that's the misfit part. So, if the crowd is going that direction, I go the opposite direction.
Also really enjoyed my conversation with Sonia Simone. She's the Chief Content Officer at Copyblogger Media. She's a founding member, and so it was super exciting to talk to her. Sonia echoed what the previous two speakers talked about, especially with Chris Brogan, because oftentimes he does talk about how media and community come together to earn more customers. And so I asked Sonia, what roles do tribes play in building business? Here's what she had to say.
I am seeing more and more that businesses, the most successful businesses, are building their businesses around belief. And this is even the case, you know, we all know it's the case for Apple, right? We all know that Apple is a cult, you know, and in a very useful way, in a very interesting to look at way. What people don't see is that Microsoft is also a cult. That, you know, we're looking for this belief-based tribe to belong to, a sense of I am, you know. That's why the Mac versus PC ads, or not even versus, the conversations were so brilliant, because I think Apple recognized that the Apple guy was like more cool and more young, but there was another person in that conversation who was like a valid person, you know. There really are people who, I am a PC, you know. And I loved that they identified that person was still a valid person. It was, you know, he wasn't as cool as the Mac guy, but there was some respect for that there, which I thought was really brilliant about that campaign. But people are looking for belief. People are looking for a sense of belonging. You know, traditional mechanisms are cutting it for fewer and fewer people. More and more people, younger people, are identifying themselves as agnostic, or they are moving away from, maybe they have a belief in some kind of higher power, but they do not go to church. They do not identify with a belief organization. And there is a big part of our brain that wants that. And if your business, if you are leading in a business with your values and you really are standing for something, you can help that person find that sense of meaning. And it's, some people use it in a cheap way or a creepy, cynical way, but it can actually be a very meaningful thing and a very rewarding thing.
I also got the chance to finally meet in person, which is really funny how that happened, with Erin Holland. She's also from Nashville, Tennessee, where I'm located. But this is the first time we actually met in person, was here at the conference. But anyway, she's a marketer, communicator, teacher. She was one of the speakers at last year's conference. So I asked her, what connections do you see from last year and this year? Here's what she said.
You can own your space. So if you tell your story and your story is compelling, and you find enough people who are like you, this idea of tribes that has gone, you know, way back as part of Copyblogger's own history and foundation, that it's not a tell your story and people will come, because that's not true, but tell your story and with the right amplification, the right customers or audience will find you and identify with you. And that's what will turn them into customers. If they trust you, if you're an authority, if you're telling a story in a way that they can really get behind and believe in. You know, I don't need to believe in, or I thought I never needed to believe in, the company that made my razors. I've been buying razors for the past 25 years, and I never thought that I cared one way or another besides the technical aspects of my razor blade. Until my husband subscribed to Dollar Shave Club.
All right, so we've been pretty zoomed out. So for now, we're going to zoom in, and we're going to talk to Summer Felix. She's a co-founder at The Draw Shop, and that is one of the sponsors for this conference. They do some really fascinating whiteboard explainer videos. From the previous guests that you've heard so far, we've talked about belonging, quality content, belief, sharing your story, and how you craft that story. And so I wanted to ask Summer, based on their experience, how do you really pack a strong punch on the front end to make sure you are delivering the right message?
I always like to look at the end goal and reverse engineer. So what is it that's going to move the needle for you? What needle do you want to move? And then look at the objections. What might stand in the way? What does the ideal outcome look like, and what might make it difficult to get there? And we take that approach with all of our videos and sales videos and informational videos, just to say, okay, who's watching this? What do you want them to do at the end of the video, and why might they be skeptical? And how can you resolve that and answer that in this amount of time?
Right. So that might be the most valuable time you put into the project, is right there.
Right at the beginning, yeah.
Because if you create a video and it doesn't convert, it's probably because they didn't think on the story.
Yeah.
And the front end. Because no matter what vendor you're working with, you can't just snap your fingers and it's just going to generate new leads. You have to put time in.
We have to. And that's part of, you know, why we love writing the copy for our clients, is because we are a team of marketers at the heart. It's not just an artist. It's not just a editor. It's like everybody kind of shares that marketing hat.
You're going to hear from Joe Paluzzi next. He's a founder of Content Marketing Institute, and I loved the way he shared his story on how they got their start and how it took time. And I think that's such an important message that I think any of these guests would all agree on, that it does not happen overnight.
Okay.
That's what Joe had to say.
Like with myself, I just basically did consulting and speaking and that kind of stuff until I was able to find the monetization for the blog and build it up to that point. It took us took us about 12 months to start building an audience, but it took us about 3 years to really find our sweet spot, to really, really find it, which was content marketing to very, very large businesses.
Now, after all these years, Content Marketing Institute, now they are the leading education and training organization for content marketing, and that includes the largest in-person content marketing event in the world, Content Marketing World. Super cool. We'll definitely have to have a link to that in the show notes, but I asked him next, what can a content marketer do to have an advantage in such a competitive digital marketing industry?
This is for any marketer getting into the business. It's for any marketing plan, actually, not just content marketing. But you want to plan, okay, we're going to execute this plan to our audience. This is our content niche. This is what we're going to do. And at the same time, how are we going to communicate this internally? How are we going to tell that story? Are we telling it through a beautiful PowerPoint presentation? Are we telling it through a short report? Are we telling it through an infographic? You've got to think about these and what's the outcome? What do we want to see happen? What's that behavior change? So you have two audiences at the same time. Most marketers don't do that. The ones that do it are highly successful because you want to share the successes. You want to celebrate those, but you've got to give them the ammunition inside to do it. But most of us don't do that because they don't share those numbers with their senior executives.
I like that. It's so interesting to think of marketers having that secondary audience, and it's your boss, it's your team, your internal team, and it's helping tell the story.
Well, I don't
data.
Know if you're a fan of Don Schultz. So Don Schultz is the father of integrated marketing.
All right.
If you haven't read Integrated Marketing Communications, it's a textbook, but it's
it's
amazingly helpful. He will basically say, if you don't have your internal marketing ship righted, don't even worry about external. Like, internal's everything. It's like, if you think about what are our most important assets in the organization, our most important marketing assets are our employees. So if we don't have a communication program ready to go for our employees, it's going to be tough once it happens, because you've got fertile land right there ready to go, but you've got to make sure that you water it a little bit.
You're going to hear from something a little bit different up next, because we had two mics on site. And this next interview, we had two people. Okay. So the co-hosts of the Mainframe podcast, another show on the Rainmaker FM network, Chris Garrett, he's a chief digital officer. And the second voice we'll hear is Tony Clark. He's a chief operating officer at Copyblogger Media. And so I was asking them, how do you deliver the right content to the right people at the right time? And this is what they had to say.
One of the things we've been talking about a lot is adaptive content. And that's a part of marketing automation that we think's untapped, but also has massive potential. A simple example would be automating it so that if you're already registered, then you'll stop promoting the registration. If they're already opted in, stop promoting the opt-in, which is something actually right now we don't even do, because all of this takes a lot of effort, but we're putting it in place. So that's still authentic, because actually you want a service provider to remember things about you on that level. For example, if you own product X, then promote product Y. Don't keep promoting product X to customers of product X. So that's still authentic, and it's automation, but it's done in a way that's less annoying. So some of this is just keeping the distractions and the overwhelm and the noise out of it so that the real signal can get through.
Yeah, and it's about using content as a way to further your goals. So for content creators, you're not going to have a big sales team. Most marketing automation, the end goal is to get somebody to a salesperson on a phone or through some other mechanism. So marketing automation may not work for a content creator. However, adaptive content, which is a form of marketing automation, is you're using the content as the salesperson. And it's context, and it's putting the right piece of content in front of the person at the right time to further them on the funnel and get them along the process to buy.
Yeah. And it's also targeting correctly and using that automation tool to give you feedback. I'll give you an example from Geek Culture.
You're going to hear from Lee Oden next. He is the CEO at Top Rank. They're one of the sponsors of Authority Rainmaker. And so Top Rank, they're a digital marketing agency, and they specialize in strategic internet marketing consulting services. And the really neat thing about Lee, this guy, he's such a thought leader. He's such a powerhouse when it comes to this stuff. But he was there front row just about every single session, tuning in to what the speakers were saying. So I asked him, from someone from your vantage point, what really stood out to you from the conference?
Accentuate the positive of who you are, then, rather than trying to traditionally market only, you know, the good things and nothing else. Tell the truth in your marketing. Clearly, we're going to be optimistic in those stories and in those messages. But something I heard from a lot of different people was this notion of just, you know, be honest, be true. I think Sonia said something about marketing is just putting, you know, a reasonable face on what it is your product is. And everyone else is talking about being useful. And Sally talked about, you know, on discovering who you really are and identifying those characteristics and accentuating them versus trying to be something else that you're not.
Here is an attendee perspective that really resonated with me. His name's Corey Matthews. He is in the technology claims investigation space. Really interesting. He's going to do a podcast about that, too. I cannot wait to hear that. Anyway, he is more or less echoing what Lee said about authenticity. Here's what he had to say. Was there anyone who you spoke today that just really stuck with you?
I think Chris Brogan, the very last speaker, was, he had a lot of humor. Like he said, he was imperfect. You know, his pitch wasn't perfect, his slides weren't perfect, and I think that lent a lot to, you know, being able to sort of have your own voice and be able to do this kind of stuff in front of other people without feeling like you have to be perfect, because perfection never comes. I've struggled with that myself for years, and, well, I have to do this exactly perfect. No, you just need to get started, you know, and that's kind of where I am right now, is trying to sort of take my brick-and-mortar business, my service-based business, and market it online to make people want to come to me.
Without interrupting them.
Without interrupting them, yes. Right. To get them interested, to say, oh, what else does this guy do?
Kevin Carlson, he's the owner of Seed Multimedia. And this is such a cool story. And this just goes to show how great of a conference this was, because it's, just take a listen, you'll like it.
I'll tell you a quick story about that. Last night at the party at, what was the name of the place? Vi?
I think, something like that. Okay. It's by Moz, sponsored by Moz.
Correct. I'm kind of a quiet guy, all right? So I'm there hanging out, and Chris Brogan, I had said thank you to him, and I'm standing there. Chris Brogan comes up to me, and he says, hey, Kevin, I just wanted to say thank you. It really means a lot to see you here, because I can tell you're a quiet guy, the crowds and stuff. I'm just like that. And you know what? 85% of the people here are just like that also. So it means a lot to see people like us all getting together for a situation like that. And for me, I thought that was just a really nice thing, because he didn't need to do that. You know, that's going above and beyond. And that might be just the way he is, that he's really attuned to the way people are wired, and somehow he picked up on something like that. But I'm hard-pressed to think of an example or another situation where something like that would happen. One of your featured keynote speakers comes up to an attendee and, like, calls you out and says, hey,
I see you.
Right, I see you. Thanks.
The next two interviews you're going to hear is from Jared Morris, and then we're going to play something from Scott Stratton. And so Jared Morris, he's a VP of Rainmaker FM at Copyblogger Media. And I know you've heard that name referenced a few times, Rainmaker FM. You need to check out this whole network of podcasts. What they're doing is, I find it to be super cutting edge. He hosts the show Showrunner, and he recently had an episode called The Importance of Treating Sponsorship Like Partnerships. So here's what he had to say about connecting audience to content to sponsors, and how, if you do it right, there's nothing better.
And I think the best way to think about a sponsor is as a partner, right? How can what I do really benefit them? How can what they're doing really benefit me? And then the audience as well. And, you know, I think John, you know, in that episode that you mentioned of the showrunner, John explains how he worked his relationship with FreshBooks when he was starting out with Hack the Entrepreneur. And what he sold to FreshBooks wasn't this vast number of downloads initially that he had because the show was still new. It was the fact that I have a small audience, but they're really engaged, which means that they'll be engaged with, you know, your message when I'm reading it. And let's grow this together. You know, I'm not gonna sugarcoat what my audience is right now. You know, I'm not gonna lie to you or make it seem bigger than it is. Here's what it is. But the thing is, there's this big long journey we can go on together. And so let's do it together, as opposed to, okay, let me get as much money out of FreshBooks right now for 3 months as I can, and then we'll go out and find another one. It's, let me take a little bit less now, make it really beneficial for both of us, and in the long term, we'll both be better off in the end.
All right, now here's Scott Stratton. He's the president of Unmarketing. He's a speaker at the conference along with Jared Morris. And I love his approach to podcasting, the unpodcast, the unmarketing approach, all the stuff he does. Super cool. But we talked about his experience about choosing the right sponsor and why it's so important to not sell out. Really, really good stuff. What's interesting is, you know, there's a lot of people who want to have access to your audience and the way you approach marketing. But tell me what it's like when you say no to a sponsor, and tell me what it's like when you say yes to the right sponsor.
There's your key part of that question there is saying no and then saying yes to the right ones. Where when we started the Unpodcast about a year and a half ago, you know, I always say it's 9 years late to the podcast party, but just at the right time, where the adoption levels are getting to a point that's great. And we rent a studio once a month, and we record 4 episodes usually. We do full video, 3 camera HD shoot. We have an audio producer. We have a video producer. I even have hair and makeup on site just for me. Allison doesn't need it, but I do. And so there's a cost. So we spend upwards of $2,000 to $2,500 on that day. So, and podcasting being something that's been known for the classical bootstrapping, you know, you get a blue snowball microphone or something like that, plug it in, something. And then you're rocking. And God love it. And to be able to do that, the barrier to content's low, it's
definitely
great. But we wanted to look from episode one that we were at the top of the game. So we decided to do it. And that's a cost. And over a year, that adds up very, very quickly. And to look at that and say, we need to take any sponsor to absorb that cost wasn't the right, you know, avenue for us. That it was a tool to stay in front of our audiences, that we could build something. So we had sponsors come to us, and we said, we're not going to, if it wasn't the right fit, we didn't want to do it. Or if it was not for the amount we thought was worth, I'd rather have no sponsor than to compromise with the values of the show and get any sponsor.
I got the chance to also talk to a previous senior staff writer at Copyblogger Media. Her name's Beth Hayden. And so from my understanding, it sounds like she's still involved with Copyblogger. I think she does some posts here and there. But I wanted to ask her, what stood out to you from this year's conference? And this is what she had to say.
What I love about coming to these conferences, actually, and I've really noticed it this year, is that they put people on stage who aren't necessarily the biggest names, but they are doing things that really make me think. And it's stuff that's really actionable. And it's not just the same old stuff over and over again. So there's talk about conversion and how to do testing and how to make changes to your site that aren't just, again, the same, you know, regurgitated content. And so I really feel like I come out of this conference in particular with pages and pages of practical notes of stuff that I can really use in my business, whether that's on my site or with my clients. And there are ways that people have described stuff with the content that is just a slightly different spin on it. And I feel like, okay, I had a bit of a grasp on that concept before, but now I know a better way of describing it to my clients, which is invaluable. And that's information that I can't get anywhere else.
We have 3 guests remaining, and it's basically wrapping everything up. This is what Sarah Eady had to say. She's an attendee. She is content marketing analyst at Simple Finance.
That empathy is an asset. You know, at other conferences, people have talked a lot about tools and workflows, and that's really important. But I think that empathy for your customers and for their needs and, you know, hopes, fears, and dreams is really invaluable, is really important.
Empathy as an asset. I like that.
Yeah.
And it is. Yeah. And I love how the Copyblogger team, I mean, yes, that's definitely a theme. You know, we're all human, and that's the approach to trust. And, you know, Pamela, one of her things on stage, Pamela Wilson, she mentioned, you know, 2 things when someone comes to your site they're thinking of. 1, can I trust you? And 2, what do I do next? I'm sure with the Selena Vidya, she is one of the speakers from last year's Authority. And I asked her, Let's talk a little bit about your consultancy and how you've grown from an agency to now being a, more of a consultancy. So why did you make that change? And that might give us a good way, a good transition to talk a little about some of the trends that you're seeing in content marketing.
Yep. So we started off as an agency, and we have fantastic partners on the content side who can write great content, create great content. But what I've been noticing is it's more sustainable if you work directly with the brand's team and you're able to help them hire in key people to write, design, whatever they need to do for content. And so we shifted to more of a consultancy because it's easier to enable the internal team, and there's a lot of red tape when you're creating content and you're not directly involved with that brand every day. So for us, it's more of an empowerment education type thing rather than being the ones who bring them the content, if that makes sense.
So you're trying to provide all the needed resources so you can go in and make a sustainable implementation, more or less. So you're teaching people how to run their own shop.
Yeah, so it's basically, you know, you give them the training wheels, you help them understand it, and the goal as a consultant is to be there when they need you, but they really need to be able to do this stuff themselves as well. It's the only way that they're going to be able to grow.
The final person you're about to hear from, his name is Ethan Butte. I think he does a better job wrapping this thing up than I could, so you're going to hear from him. He's marketing over at a company called BombBomb. So here's what Ethan said from an attendee perspective, his main takeaways.
A couple of themes. I love taking notes by hand, and so I love that the first speaker, Dan Pink, specifically called out taking notes by hand as the right technique.
Really cool. I did not know that.
Yeah. So anyway, I take a ton of notes by hand. Last night, between the conference and the evening stuff, I went home and typed up all my notes. It's another layer of processing on it. And so you see a lot of themes in there. And some of them weren't like mind-blowing. They're just to have it reinforced and brought to life and be reinvigorated about. And some of it was. But the neat thing was, no matter the angle or the topic, there are all these themes that come through. One of them is obviously around humans, right? Like treating leads as humans, thinking empathetically about other people, like intense awareness of, empathy for, focus on delivering to the audience, right? And then of course, bigger stuff that's not, again, not mind-blowing, but to hear it from so many different people in so many different ways, that the email list is everything, and the people in the email list need to be treated as people you serve, right? Right? It's an opportunity for you to serve people. And so the themes in general are... you know, leading with the give, treating people as humans. This human piece was really strong for me, obviously, because I've said it a few times now.
That's great.
But those are just some of the big themes that came out in looking at that.
All right, that is a wrap. Thank you so much for hanging with me. Big special thanks to the whole Copyblogger team. Thanks for letting me come hang out, guys. And especially a thank you to Jessica. We really appreciate the opportunity to be a media sponsor. A special thanks to Andrew Malone, my audio engineer. He's the reason I'm able to have such a quick turnaround on these. And another special thank you to Kane Jamison from Content Harmony. I really appreciate you hanging with us and doing some of the live tweeting from at tech conferences. And also, I guess a final thank you, I of course want to thank you, the listener. If you enjoyed this format, would you let us know? You can find me on Twitter at Clark Buckner, Technology Advice, it's at technology_ADV, and of course, Copyblogger at Copyblogger. If you're trying to find the right technology for your business, we have done all of the research so you don't have to. At technologyadvice.com, with just a few simple questions, we're going to match you with the best solution for your business. Whether you're looking for CRM, project management software, marketing automation software, with just a few simple questions, we're going to instantly and in an unbiased way generate the best recommendations for you and your business. Again, totally free and it's unbiased. All that and more at technologyadvice.com.